Hi guys, Tom here from the Diabetes Chat Spaces. This new feature, Diabetes Chat Stories, talks to people just like you. If you're a parent, a carer, a friend, a partner, or someone with diabetes or associated to diabetes, we'll be sharing your story and your journey with everyone. So let's see who we've got this time around. So this week on the Diabetes Chat Story, we have Gary and Sarah. And later on, we're going to be joined by Max, and they're going to share their story of Max's diabetes. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they've managed Max's diabetes over the years. So hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Tom. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. It's nice to see you both.
Yeah, and you. And you. It's a nice day, isn't it? I can see it at your conservatory there. The sun is shining.
Nice day. Yeah, absolutely. It's great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Max's journey then? So let's go right back to the beginning where he was first diagnosed, or maybe in the lead up of him being diagnosed. What happened? Did you notice any symptoms? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Obviously, there are obvious symptoms now, but obviously back then we didn't have a clue. He just had a general cold. He was just feeling a little bit unwell. He was wearing nappies at the time, so... his nappies used to explode all the time because obviously he's weaned quite a lot, and we just couldn't understand why it was happening. And I was blaming all the nappy companies, you know, saying, why is it doing this? It's not holding in the urine like it should. And looking back at the pictures, he looked really thin and white, and he just looked, you know, it was just lifeless when he, but obviously at the time we didn't really know, we just thought it was just a general, you know, cold. And so we ended up taking him to the doctors, and she did ask us if there was any diabetics in the family, but obviously there wasn't on both sides. Yeah. So she could have done a check there and then, but she didn't. So she just sent us home with antibiotics.
Yeah.
So Matt, because Matt was only 18 months when he got it, Tom, and like Sarah said, we just, when you're with him all the time, you don't really notice the weight loss as much. Yeah. Until like Sarah said, then we look back at photographs and go, wow, how did we not notice?
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah, every time I come home from work, we'll have a different brand of nappy because we thought it was the nappies that were no good, because every morning his cot was just leaking wet. And you had to change him in the shower, didn't you? Every morning.
Yeah, because all the chemicals was on his stomach, and I had to give him a shower to get him all off.
Really bad. And then it got scary when, because the week before he was diagnosed, on not knowing what was the matter with him, but obviously we thought he just had a cold, you know, those symptoms. And we were at a birthday party, and me being me, I'm like, oh, he's all right. Give him a bit, give him some cake. Build him up a little bit. He's fine. Obviously, not knowing at that point that by doing that was probably making it a lot, well, would have been making it a lot worse for us, wouldn't it? And then, like I said, we went to that doctor, and we still are really, really disappointed in what had happened, because she had mentioned, if the doctor had never mentioned diabetes to me, because we, you know, before you live with diabetes, you don't know about it, do you? You don't know what it is. And she mentioned it, but then she's then, you know, put it under the seat and said, it's not that then. Here's some antibiotics, on your way. And then the next day, I was at work.
Because in the moment, you might have not clicked all them things together. It didn't, the jigsaw puzzle together. But when you look back now, like you're saying, you think, why didn't they do a simple blood test? Yeah. Like you could see the numbers, and then you would have gone straight to hospital.
That's it. Yeah. So I went to work the day after. We were having we'll never forget the day, because it was Halloween. And we were having a Halloween party that night, on the Friday, weren't we?
My brother was coming around with my nephews, and they'd all got their little costumes on. But obviously, you know, we had to rush him to the doctor's.
What costume did Max have on?
Oh, I think they all had the same. We all matched them up. I think he was just like a little skeleton, all-in-one costume. So obviously he was all lifeless, and
course
we didn't like the look of him, so we just took him straight to the doctors, and she wasn't happy with his breathing, so we just went straight to the hospital. Yeah.
So yeah, we Sarah phoned me at work and said, look, you're gonna have to come home, Max isn't very well. And again, me being a typical dad, is, if you like, going, well, hang on, we were only at the doctors yesterday. They told us he was all right. He's got a virus, and we only put all the antibiotics. So give them a chance to work.
Yes.
But I came right home. Sarah had seen something online as well, or somewhere, with that Dr. Chris, who was explaining the symptoms of diabetes. And Sarah actually phoned me and said, I think he's diabetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way he's diabetic. No way. Not to us. It wouldn't happen to us. It wouldn't happen to us.
And did you know much about diabetes up until that point?
Because it's not in the family. I mean, the only thing I can remember when I was a kid, there was a girl in school and she was diabetic, and now and again she used to get a snack out to have, you know, to keep her blood levels up. That's the only, but obviously I didn't really know much about it really.
Yeah.
So, because it's not in the family, you don't really know any symptoms or anything.
Yeah.
So.
And that Halloween, Tom, was probably, well, obviously the scariest Halloween of our lives, because when I came home and saw him, Max was pretty much only communicating with us through his eyes. He was so lifeless.
Yeah.
So we picked him up, like Sarah said, took him to our GP. We didn't have an appointment. We literally just walked him in. And I think somebody did mention that I needed to have an appointment. Now, I'm quite a laid-back guy, but when it's your son and they can't, you can clearly see he's struggling. So they sent us to Stafford Hospital, and Max was the last patient in the children's ward at Stafford Hospital. It actually closed at midnight that night while we were there, didn't it?
Yeah.
But what we will always say, one of the things we'll always remember, I just wish that we had got the nurse's name, because he was brilliant. And we were right on the reception, because Max was high intensity, you know, they needed to keep an eye on him. But they said to us, if we can't get his ketone levels sorted in the next hour, we're going to have to transfer you to Birmingham Intensive Care Unit. Now, we went from, he's got a virus, he has antibiotics, to he's in danger and you might lose him.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And it was a massive shock to both of us. Worst day of our lives. But the nurse there, he was brilliant. I mean, he was checking Max's blood every 15 minutes and getting the results back every 15 minutes quickly.
Yeah.
And when he got the result that he needed, he reacted like I would react watching Liverpool win the Champions League. He was up and jumping around. We've got him. He's fine.
Yes.
And he came to me and Sarah and said, well, you go to sleep now. We've got this under control. And then we didn't, obviously, sleep. And Max was in a coma 48 hours, wasn't he, pretty much?
So, obviously, when you got discharged from hospital, you went home and it was like a new life, wasn't it? Starting all over again. It's like having, we've spoke already, it's like having a new baby from the beginning. Maybe tell us a little bit about that and how it changed your life and what you had to do.
It was when we first had to give him insulin because he had to eat.
Yes.
And I think Gary, I was struggling, but because Gary was struggling to do it, because he didn't like the thought of giving his son a needle.
Yeah.
But obviously someone had to do it. So obviously stepped up and stayed stronger. But just give that first insulin, we didn't know whether we did it properly. So it was like, oh, did the insulin go in? We don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
So that was a bit weird, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
But
it was hard. And I think I mentioned it before, Tom, but as a dad, and Max was really good at talking at quite a young age as well. Yeah, he was really good at talking.
Mm.
And when he woke up from the coma in the hospital and the diabetes team came over to us, and when we had to give him that injection, he was pleading me not to let him do it. He literally cuddling me to go, don't let him do it, Dad. And for a dad to have to actually then hold him tighter so that they could do it. So the one person he trusts more than anybody is now in his mind going, hang on a minute. This is not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But I think what probably, and Sarah was brilliant, like Sarah said, she took command of it when we got home. I just couldn't get my head around doing it. I think it took quite a long time before I did do it.
I think it was a good week or so, wasn't it, for you to get it right in your head. And although he was around to help,
of course,
to actually deliver that insulin, because he was on an insulin pen then.
Yes.
to actually physically do that himself, it took a while for you to do that.
It's hard.
But like you say, it's that mindset and you're learning it as well. And also like you said, you're injecting it and you're thinking, did that work? Like even me, who's had diabetes 16 years and I inject myself, I say to myself, did that work? Because sometimes when you take it out and there's no like little drop left, that's when you think, did that work? And then in your mind you think, ooh, and then you're going to check later on and you're going to know if it's had that impact or not. But yeah, absolutely interesting stuff. And then obviously them early years, really, you're obviously on injections and you're obviously checking Max's fingers by blood by pricking his fingers. And then I guess, like we've said before, you were waking up a lot, weren't you, every couple of hours and constantly checking him and making sure he was all right.
To be honest, looking back, you think, how did we do that? Because, you know, because he used to sort of go to bed, but it had to be on a certain number, didn't it? So we used to have to give him like half a digestive biscuit before going to bed, and that always seemed to work. And then, I just don't know,
I don't know how we
used to do it, because now it's sort of, you can see it on your phone, like if you happen to wake up, look at the phone quick, and then just go back to sleep again, so it's a lot easier. Yeah.
With the technology now, it's evolved so much, hasn't it, over the years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that then? So he was three, was he, when he went on to the pump and technology?
He was three, yeah. So we, me and Sarah really, and it wasn't our fault, we've forgotten it, but Max's diabetes is chronic. So if he had half a biscuit, even a quarter of a biscuit, his bloods could go from 4 to 24 within an hour. It was that bad. So to try and control that with an insulin pen become impossible. And like Sarah said, we just couldn't sleep. We even during the day we're looking at him going, is he all right? And the problem, it is a problem, although it's not, well, it is a big problem, that but Max never showed any symptoms, so he was no different when he was at level 2 or if his bloods were 24. He never looked any different. He's still playful and he was still... Yeah. We were out once and he went to 1 point something when we were out Christmas, looking for Christmas trees at the check, but he never showed any symptoms of it. No. And then we said we'd better check his bloods, check them. He's 1.8.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, flip me. So we sorted that. But so when he was three, we had discussions with our diabetes team about putting him on insulin pump. Now, that was a big decision for us to make, because when Max has no insulin pump, diabetes is invisible to everyone else around us. Because for some reason, you've got this in your mind that you don't want him to look different to anybody else. You don't want him to be different. And I don't want him to feel different. So diabetes with no pump is invisible to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And no one would know if he had it or not, apart from us.
Mm-hmm.
And the insulin pump was a massive decision, and it was emotional when he first got it. It still is, in a way. It still is, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you see the things on his bum or on his arm, or it's like, oh, you know, it's like he's all wired up.
Yeah. It is still that you still have that thought now when you look at him and you see this thing stuck to him. Yeah. You know, these, you know, the CGM and the pump.
Yeah.
And I know it's brilliant, but the day he had it, we went to the doctors to get it fitted. Max was a mess. He's screaming the place down. He just did not want it done.
Yeah.
And I remember they came round our house and they stuck we put it on, didn't we? We put the cannula on, you know, just to show him it didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
And to try and make him feel better. But he was a mess, Tom. And it took him, a bit of time to get used to it.
Of course.
I think the one day I was putting it on and his nurse was due to come and I had my windows open because it was warm and she could hear him screaming from outside as she came in and she was she fitting his cannula? I went, yeah. I said, you wouldn't let me do it. I had to hold him down to try and do it because he was just scared. Because, I mean, obviously it's got to hurt a little bit as it went in.
Of course.
But
And I guess he was trying to get used to it, isn't it? For like a year and a half, he's had injections. He's gone through that sort of ordeal and trying to get used to mum and dad injecting him. And now he's got this thing that's attached to him.
Yeah.
I guess with injections, is once you've injected, you can, that's it. You put your pen away and it's done for a couple hours or whenever your next injection is. But like you said, the pump's there all the time. And obviously it depends what type of brand you've got, if it's the tubeless one or with the tube. And I know for me, over the years when I discussed going on pumps, I was petrified of having sort of wires and things connected to me because I didn't want it on show. But looking back at it now, I think it's the way forward, isn't it? To manage your diabetes much better. Yeah. And does the pump, it connects to the CGM and you can see all the data and you can see what levels, max is.
It totally changes our lives, Tom. You have your initial, there's issues, there's still issues with it. You still have the days where you think, it's not going according to plan, but very rare.
Yeah.
And with what he started on the Medtronic 640G with the CGM, so we're very, very lucky to have that. Which was great, but now Matt is on the 780G with CGM, and this thing is a total ball. It's a game changer. So the hospital, for instance, can monitor Matt's bloods from the hospital even now. So it goes on my phone. So when he's home, and it sends a care link, it's called, and it sends it to the hospital. And if there's any changes that need to be made, they will call us
on the phone
and say change something in the system.
It's not like the old times, is it, where you used to take your books, you go to your appointments every 3 months or 6 months or whatever, and then you'd be there like, here you go, and they're looking through and it takes 10 minutes to kind of understand it.
Yeah.
They're all on graphs now, they can get it.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
I guess they can then see what's happening, and then if they feel actually we can maybe help Max with something, we're noticing he's a bit high overnight or something, so we'll give mum and dad a ring and we'll suggest maybe his evening background or whatever to just be increased slightly, and then because sometimes you get a bit overwhelmed, don't you, with all like changes and things, and sometimes it's nice for the healthcare professional to link in with you and say, actually try this.
The amazing thing with the 780G, I'll be honest, is that it was scary when we first went on it because they said, just let it do what it's got to do.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, that's easy for you to say, but he's our son. But basically it learns itself. So it changes itself. So it makes it, the algorithms within the machine change.
Yeah.
So they learn Max's pattern. So if his bloods go high or they start going high, it automatically gives him a correction. Yes. We don't even have to get involved in it. Yes. It starts doing it. Yes. And then if it drops too quickly, it switches the insulin off completely.
Pauses
and
it,
tells us what it's doing.
Yes.
And then waits for his blood to recover. And once it's recovered, it starts giving it again. It's really clever.
And then what about when he's eating then? So for his meals or snacks, do you have to import how many carbs he's eating?
Yeah, we still have to do that.
So like foods have got the carbs on at the back of the packaging, or if you're sort of having something, you've got a little weighing machine to weigh certain food. Yeah. Obviously, when you're out and about, it's a little bit more difficult. So we've got like an app. We do like a rough sort of guess.
Yeah.
But as I say, the pump just corrects that if it's slightly out. So it will give them a little bit more if it's, you know, not enough.
Yeah.
But
does Max have hyper-awareness now? Does he show signs either to you guys, or does he have the awareness of, actually, I don't feel right, I'm a bit headachy or feeling confused? Or
he still struggle a little bit. I mean, when he is slow, he says he feels tired.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when he is low, he still can't tell.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing with him, Tom, he's a boy. He's a little boy of 8. And when he's concentrating on something, he knows that if he tells us he's low or something, it's going to interrupt what he's doing. So he tends not to tell you. And then you're like, Max, you should have said, you know, and that's what they're like. Yeah. So there is that as well.
Does this technology set alarms or anything? So does he see it if it's low or high? What does it indicate to him?
Yeah. It vibrates as well. So although it vibrates, because it at night, if it ever alarms, which to be honest, it hardly ever alarms at night now, which is good. But if it does, it vibrates, but that still doesn't wake him up. So obviously we still have to sort of go in just to check.
So do you guys get more sleep nowadays?
It's only if you sort of, you happen to wake up, just have a quick look on the phone, it's fine. And then, you know, it's like, say I keep physically getting up, looking at it, and then coming back. And so the phone really is brilliant, really.
Total life changer. We've gone from checking his fingers about 40 times a day to about 3 times a day, and not having any sleep to now getting a good night's sleep every night.
That is just amazing.
Changed our life. Yeah. And Max's catchphrase in this house is, "My pump's going off." Well, it's attached to you, Matt. Yeah. Just press OK and then it'll stop. My pump's going off. Yeah, I know. Press the button.
It's attached to you.
It's attached to you. You've got less walking to do than that. Just press the OK button.
So when he's 18, you'll still be ringing us up saying, "My pump's just gone off.
Can you come round?"
You know what? Last weekend, I went to Talking About Diabetes conference, and we met over 100 people with diabetes or healthcare professionals, and it was so interesting, like connecting with people. And every so often you could just hear someone's pump machine going off, and it just felt so normal because everyone was just so supportive. I'm sure if anyone needed help they would have stepped in, but it was just like you were focused on the presentation, enjoying the presentation. There's some noises going on, but you weren't like, "Oh, what's that? Because it was part of you, it's normal. Whereas I guess if someone who doesn't know them sort of things would be like, "Oh, what's that noise?"
But the other funny thing with that was, is in school, so he did say to his teacher he didn't like it going off in assembly, did he? He wanted to set the ends, he'd get embarrassed if it went off in assembly. But one of the good things, we had a parents' evening once, a few times ago, whatever, and they said how much this new pump has improved his schooling because it's less disruptive. So it does what it does, so he can concentrate, where before he was in and out the classroom, now he's not. So that's another difference it's made. But the other thing they told us, which was quite funny, is that even all of his classmates will go, "Max's pump's going on." So it's like a thing in the classroom. Seeing all the kids doing that must be funny.
I've read the first book and it's incredible. Yeah. I've loved it. Me and Harry read it last night. Tonight my homework is to read book 2. So I wonder if that saying is in this book, and if not, Max and Pump's going off. When you make the third book, you might have to put it in.
Put it in there. Yeah.
Put it in.
I mean, that is his catchphrase.
That is his catchphrase, to be fair.
Yeah, I love
it. Lazy. Press the button.
So how does Max sort of manage his diabetes on a daily basis? And how do you guys support him?
The pump pretty much does everything for Max. So Max will check his bloods. When he's at school, so what happens every day is the school will call us every day before they make any adjustment. So usually before lunch.
Honest though, they don't need to. I think it's just me, I ask them to ring just to clarify, but they know what they're doing. So they don't really need to ring at all, but I just like them just to clarify, just so I know. But I just get them to get him to keep checking it in himself. Because obviously when he's in like year 5, year 6, he's got to properly do it himself, like, you know, without of any help. So I think that's going to be hard because I'm sort of, you know, I don't want him to grow up. I don't want him to sort of, you know, because I've been doing it a lot. I just think, oh no, I need to do that. Where I should say, no, you do it now. What he does put in, because he knows what his carbs are for lunch, so he puts in his own carbs. Mm-hmm. So they just let him do that anyway. And then
Gary said when we spoke the other day that when you went to the football to watch Chelsea and Liverpool, he was doing it himself, wasn't he?
So he can put his carbs in himself, and he pretty much knows how many carbs, because he has the same sort of meals Yeah. You know, if he has a packed lunch, it's usually like 54 carbs, whatever it is, and he puts it in. He knows that. So he does that, which is really good. And the other thing with Max now is, and again, he's only eight, but he has that awareness of what's good, what's bad. So for instance, one of the ways he manages it is he will sit there, he will look at his pump, and if it says something like 9 with two arrows going up, mm-hmm. he'll go, oh, I can play my I'll play goalkeeping in the front room where he chucks a ball and catches, or gets me to chuck a ball at him. So he plays in goal because he knows that will bring his bloods back down. And that's how he manages it pretty much. Yeah. He sees it as a, oh, I'm high, that's good. That means I can play. I can do whatever I want to do.
You don't necessarily need to do a correction. You can, like you say, do something else, physical exercise or whatever. And I think that's great, isn't it? You don't have to rely fully on the insulin to do that. You can do other things. So, yeah, it's good that he's got that knowledge. He's building that understanding.
We have taught him to, if he is approaching low, to stop what he's doing just so he can recover. Because they're having so much fun. It's hard for them to stop, so I always get them to keep looking at it. If it starts to approach low, if there's any arrows, I tell him just to completely stop, because I know for a fact it's just going to plummet if he carries on. But and he is getting better at that now, to be honest. Yeah. It is hard, but it's but if he does play football, or if he's playing with his friends or cousins, then we just give him some crisps just to keep it level, so keep interrupting him.
And it does frustrate him. That's one of the horrible bits of diabetes, because it does. You know, if he's playing football with his cousins or he's at a birthday party and then his blood start dropping to the fact where they're going to get to the hypo, he's got to stop. You know, and to tell an eight-year-old boy to stop playing, it's really difficult. His parents, it's really hard. And he sits there and gets quite, you know, he can get quite emotional about it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it breaks you a little bit. So, you know, he doesn't mention it very often, but...
Yeah.
He has said in the past, yeah, I wish I never had this. And that, when he says that, it breaks you.
Yes, he has started to say that a few more times now, hasn't he?
Yes, he's getting older.
He does still get to do what he wants. It's just we have to carb him up before I'm to doing it. So.
Yeah.
So guys, we've got your books, fantastic books. So The Adventures of Captain Lantis. So where did this idea come from?
So the idea actually came from Max himself. Yeah. So they must have been doing something at school for him to have the idea. But Sarah, you picked him up from school, didn't you? He went back to his...
Yeah, he come out of school and I think they might have been doing something like writing or doing like thinking about a little book to write or something, or doing something in class. And he come up to me and he says, oh, this is it. I just want to ask the teacher something. I says, all right, then go and ask her. So he went up to his teacher and says, I'm going to write a book. She says, oh, okay, that's nice. She says, what are you going to write? She says, I don't know yet. I'll let you know. So
I'll let you know.
And then he come back and that's when he spoke to you.
Yeah, because like I say, he's only six. So he came in six and he was really excited about it. He came in and he said, Dad, I want to write a story. I'm going to take it into school on Friday. Will you help me do it? So I'm like, I'll help you do it, Max. Of course I will. So what's your story? And I'm thinking, this could be about anything. It could be about anything. So the first thing he said to me that it got my interest right away is he said, my insulin pump, and this is exactly how he talks, isn't it? Well, you know my insulin pump? I said, yeah. He said, it keeps me alive, doesn't it? Mm. I said, yeah, of course it keeps you alive. Yeah. He said, well, you know Iron Man's got that thing in his chest? I said, yeah. He said, that keeps him alive, doesn't it? I said, yeah. He said, so I'm an Avenger then? And I'm, yeah, you are, Max. You're an Avenger. So then what we did is, me and him sat together on the settee. We folded up some A4 paper. And it started off as Bolus Man. And I wrote a bit. Then he folded it on and so on and so on to see what we had at the end of it. We were laughing and making a thing of it a little bit. But what got me is we spent a couple of hours doing that probably. And then when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep because I'm thinking, he's onto something here.
Yeah.
This is something that could be something. Now, I've never written a book. I never did, you know, come out of school with lots of English and all that. I did, you know, I've done better when I've left school than what I did when I was there. But I knew he was onto something. So I wrote this story down about Captain Lantus. It was called something different before, but we changed the name of it and everything. And I wrote it down and I had it there. And I said to Sarah, he's definitely onto something.
Yeah.
So I sent it to the publishing company that to say, can you have a read of it? And do you think it will work?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, within 24 hours, they came back and said, it will work. It's perfect. And that was it. So during that time, it was lockdown. And I didn't know whether I was going to keep my job at the time. Or it was touch and go what was going to happen with our employment. And I just said to Sarah, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put it on a credit card. And I'm going to get that book written because that book, one will make Matt really proud. And for me, him seeing him with his own book with his name on it in front of his classmates is priceless.
Yeah.
But two, this could help so many other children with type 1. So going all the way back to what we were talking about when Matt first came home with his insulin pump, absolutely terrified, absolutely didn't know what to do. Me and Sarah had leaflets, websites to visit, phone numbers to call. Max had nothing.
Yeah.
But as soon as I give him that book, he's 3-year-old, and said, you're a superhero, Max. You are Captain Lantus. That fear, that worry, everything inside that little boy, or that little girl now going forward, gone. Because they have a character to relate to.
Yeah.
And we've been overwhelmed with the response that we've had from it. Hence why we've done a second book, which again was 20 minutes. I walked up the shop and came back from the shop and said, get me a piece of paper, quick me. I think I've got another idea. But it's been brilliant in all sorts of ways. So for one, for Max, because at his school now, everybody talks to Matt, calls him Captain Lantus, but it gives him the confidence to talk about his diabetes because actually he's a superhero and his classmates think of him like that. And so his confidence, and that's what we want. We've learned that from Max, to be able to give it to others, to give it to other children around the world, to go, you don't have to hide away because you've got a pump on. Actually, Captain Lantus wears a pump and he's a superhero.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid.
Absolutely.
And that's why we did it. So our aim now, future plan, is to, we want to raise, well, we always need to raise money to keep it going because it costs a lot of money in the background as well. But it's for a good cause and it's something that's close to our hearts. But we're probably looking at an activities book next, colouring in, spot the difference, word search, and then our third book. So the third book, we pretty much got a storyline for, but we've got to get it over the line.
And do they follow each other? Because like I said, I've read the first one.
Yeah, sort of. They sort of do.
You have to get both. Like you should get both. But
yeah, you should get both. But you don't necessarily have to get both. The only thing what I'd say is, look, any superhero film that's out there at Marvel and everything, Captain Lantus 1 will explain to you where he got his insulin pump and where the insulin pump comes from. So that's where he gets his powers. Where the second book is more that he lives in the world. So basically they live in a town called Beta Town, which is obviously the cells in your pancreas that disappear, that get affected with type 1. And the mayor of Beta Town is called Mayor Bolas. So she is the mayor and she is the owner or the runner of the town who keeps everybody safe and everything. And like I say, instead of everybody having insulin injections, because everyone who lives in that town has diabetes, but they're protected by an insulin cube, it'll be like the Avengers, that keeps them all safe. So obviously the moral of the story is, when that gets stolen, everybody starts becoming poorly because they've got no protection.
Yes.
But the insulin pump is something that they've been secretly working on, and Max comes across that pump, puts it on, and, does he save the day? We don't know. But there's Captain Lantus 2, and in Captain Lantus 2, he's already Captain Lantus and Captain in the second book.
Yes.
So there is an explanation of there's a secret that only him and Mayor Bolas know about it.
Yes.
But you get the drift. You don't need both, but it does help if you read the first one. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So what made you think of the characters' names? What inspired you for them names?
I think I looked at a lot of different books. There's so many brilliant children's books out there. Year 1 with type 1 is brilliant. And I will put them in mention because it is a really good book. And there's lots of other children's books out there as well that are really, really good. But I wanted to do it a little bit different because a lot of the books are more of a journey into how they got diabetes. It's about the real person, if you like. So we wanted to do it a little bit different around. So all the names that are in that book are linked to diabetes in some way.
Yeah.
But they're not. So when you're a parent and you're reading the story to the children, you can tell them that beta town is called beta town because beta cells are what are in your pancreas. Mare Bolas is called Mare Bolas because she is insulin. You know, King Carb is a villain, so too many carbs in some stage.
I love it. It's very all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you can so anybody can read it in a way. So we've done it in a way where somebody's brother or sister can read it as well and still get the same enjoyment out of it with it not just being about the day-to-day, you know, diabetes, what we live in, you know, the control and stuff. So we did it a little bit different, but some of the feedback that we've had from parents and, you know, you sent us a message a few weeks ago, or a couple of last week on Twitter and stuff, that to us is priceless. That's the biggest motivation that we have got. So it's, we had on World Book Day, I got sent a message from a mum who said, thanked me and Max, and Max loves it when this happens, that what a difference we've made to their son. We've made such a difference to their son that he's made the Captain Lanta's costume himself and gone on World Book Day as Captain. So of all the superheroes he could have went as, he's gone as Captain Lanta. So
incredible.
For me and Sarah and Max, Christ, that's priceless. Yeah. It blows our mind. Brilliant.
And for someone who doesn't have diabetes as well, that's incredible.
The real, yeah.
So what's the dream going forward then, guys?
I think for we've talked about it because with the book, me and Max, I think this book, it helps so many people across the world, Tom. And I think what we would really love is that for every child that gets an insulin pump, gets this book or both as a package to go, don't be afraid, there's your insulin pump. But actually, as a reward, here's a stories of somebody that wears one. And you don't have to worry about it. That's our dream, to be able to do that. Obviously, that would need some sort of sponsorship to do that. But that's what we would like to do.
Yes.
But secondly, what is really good, and it'll be up to Max, obviously, but Max is really motivated by this, which makes me and Sarah very proud about that.
Yeah.
So we hope that as he grows older, he keeps this going, even if he's in his teens, in his 20s, in his 30s, but to keep pushing it and be sort of an advocate of diabetes, somebody that's what we want him to do, to be proud of what he's got rather than hide it away.
And you guys and Max have done a lot of amazing things already. You've been in your local newspaper, you've been in Balance magazine, you talked about World Book Day, and Max has gone to 2 years now as Captain Lanta. You obviously, like you said, you're donating books to children in hospitals and all around the world. And also he did the Type 1 balloon challenge. So, you know what I mean? He's spreading that awareness. He's getting out there and he's doing amazing stuff. And I saw a picture of his banner thing in school and he's pointing up and he's really proud. And you can see that in his face. So
that banner is actually at Stafford Hospital.
Wow.
They put it up for us, so it's really good. Yeah.
They go from two different sites, from one hospital to the other, and they take it with them and put them up in the ward that they're in at the time, don't they? So.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
We donated a box of them, didn't we? Some 60 books or whatever to Stafford Hospital so they could give to the children while they're coming in. Because that for us is our biggest motivation, Tom. It's helping other people, especially families, and one of the things for me and Sarah is, and what I want Max to be a part of, and when he's older, I mean, is that when we see newly diagnosed families, we know exactly what they're going through and where they are at that time. So that's where we donate, because we contact them online, message them privately, and say, look, we would like to send you a book. So we're sending one to Canada today. We've got sent to New Zealand, Australia, everywhere.
It's great.
Everywhere.
It's amazing stuff.
Priceless.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit about Balance magazine and and Max being in the newspaper. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the Balance magazine was, they saw us online basically and wanted us to share our story. Because obviously I've been reaching out to Diabetes UK, JDOF and other people, which have been brilliant because they share some of our stuff and you know, give us some really good feedback, which is great. So Balance magazine, they asked us to be a part of it. We went up into the woods, didn't we, and had our photos done and everything. So that was really good. Got to keep those photos as well, so that was great.
We had his nurses and healthcare team, they get that magazine. In general anyway, and then when they actually saw, because we didn't tell them, when they actually saw him in it, they called us straight and went, oh, he's in the magazine.
So
sent a page
that was. And then the other thing was that another dream of ours, and it's always dreams, and you know, sometimes you need a bit of luck, Tom, but the impact it's had on Max at school with the way the children have reacted to his book. And the way they talk to Max now about openly can talk about diabetes at the age of 7 and 8 is a massive thing. You know, and for them to listen as well and be interested is massive. So we would love to see our books in schools so there's always, we didn't know how, you know, how many children actually had type 1 diabetes until we become part of this community. And now it's like, wow, it's unbelievable how many people have got it, how many children have got it. So we wanted it in school. So I got hold of our local MP here in Lichfield, Michael Fabricant, who then he shared our story and put it in the local paper up here. So again, really good. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Well done, guys. I think you guys are amazing, and your support for him is incredible. And I think you've been on a super journey over the past 6 years. And it'd be great to now to... chat to Max and see what he thinks as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll ask him some questions.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. If you can get any more words out of than what me and Sarah can, you can adopt it. Actually, no. Tom can adopt it. Tom died lately.
We'll post him out.
And he's got a football in the back room.
Yeah.
There we are.
On the side.
Yeah, the other side.
So let's get Max on and let's have a chat, yeah?
Yeah.
So how old are you, Max?
I'm 8 years old.
8 years old. And how long have you had diabetes? Can you remember?
Not really, I can't remember.
About 6 years now. So quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know when sometimes you feel a bit low when you're having a hypo? Yeah. What's your favourite hypo treatment that you like to have?
My favourite hypo treatment is pure juice.
And when you have a hypo, can you feel it when you have a hypo?
Yeah.
And what does it feel like?
I feel tired, not really like that energised. I just want to stay on the sofa.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good, does it?
No.
So now you've got the pump, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've had it for a couple of years, and can you talk about it? What does it do?
The pump tells you like what your bloods are and if they're going up or down. So it's basically keeping yourself safe.
Yeah, that's super cool, isn't it? What do you do if it tells you you're going down? What do you normally do?
Well, I usually stop playing, but feel a little bit disappointed when I have to stop playing and go on, just like sit on the sofa. That's what I really don't like about diabetes.
Yeah, tell me about it, Max. How does it make you feel when you see low numbers?
Well, sometimes it just makes me feel worried, and then. Sometimes, like when I have juice after it, I just feel like I'm gonna be fine because it's all going up.
And then hopefully then after you've had a little rest, you can go back to playing, can't you? Or football, yeah, or whatever you like doing. So what do you like doing, Max? What's your favourite hobbies?
I like doing football and drawing, little bit of basketball sometimes.
Nice. And have you tried to draw some of the characters in your books?
We was gonna do a drawing competition to draw Captain Mantis.
Oh, nice. In school?
No. Across the world.
Oh wow, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Are you gonna put it on Twitter and see how many people do it?
Yeah, and Facebook.
Oh nice, that'd be cool. Well, can I maybe try and have a go at drawing?
Yeah.
Talking about your diabetes, what do your friends think of it? Do you talk to them about your diabetes, and do they know a little bit about diabetes?
Sometimes I talk about it to my friends. They do think it's cool. Sometimes they do get jealous because I have snacks in the middle of school. So they think it's really cool.
So do you check your levels in school and at home? Do you check your pump and you go, oh, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I check it while we play football in school.
What made you write the books? Why did you decide to do it?
I read the book because I felt like my pump was like Iron Man and I thought I was like a superhero. So I said to my dad, Dad, my pump is like Iron Man and maybe we should write a book about I'm a superhero.
Wow.
So we did for a little bit and we just like had some pages, like did pictures, written down. My dad had to do one page and I had to do one page. And then we come up with the idea and then we just accomplished the book.
There we go. Look, I've got a copy as well.
Yeah.
How cool. Look, created by Max Rapson. How cool is that?
It's good.
So you're 8 years old and you have Two books. What's your plans for the future, Max? What would you like to do?
I want to do a charity for a cure on diabetes.
Oh,
and
wow.
Maybe make some more books.
Carry on making more books. What do your friends say about your books? Have you showed them?
Some of my class have got copies of my books.
And did they like your books?
Yeah, they liked mine. We read the second one across our whole class.
Oh, nice.
So everyone could hear it.
And on World Book Day, normally people all around the country, so people like me who are teachers, or guys like you go to school, dress up as different characters in books. Who did you go as World Book Day?
I dressed up as Captain Mantis.
Oh, wow. And not only did you do it for 1 year, you did it for 2 years, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Very cool.
So who's your favourite character in the book?
Mostly me.
Yeah, of course, it has to be. If you're the main person in the book, it has to be you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And who's that?
Her name is Poppy Star.
Where did that idea come from?
So Poppy Star is basically my little cousin in real life.
Oh, wow.
And we thought that we could make her into the book and make her like very fast.
That's cool, isn't it? Let's look at your first book. What is the book about, Max? Can you tell us a little bit about what happens in the book?
It's basically about this evil villain called King Cobb taking away this cube from this town called Beta Town, and everyone in Beta Town has diabetes, and the special cube helps them, and the villain King Cobb is trying to steal the cube.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Captain Lantis has to try and stop him from doing it.
That's cool. That sounds really good. And what about the second book? What's the second book about?
It's basically about sports day, like racing and all them challenges.
You also donate all your books or lots of your books to people, don't you? People that have maybe recently been diagnosed with diabetes. Why'd you do that?
So to make them feel like a superhero, so that everyone that has diabetes can feel like a superhero, so they don't have to be scared of having diabetes.
What would your message be to someone like you, Max? So a boy or a girl who's maybe similar age or just young, what would your message be to them? Who may have diabetes, whether it's recently diagnosed or someone who's had it a couple of years or many years, what would your message be to them?
I would say there's no need to be afraid, because everyone with type 1 diabetes is a superhero, so there's no need to be afraid. Yeah, because you're a superhero.
That is good. So what do you want to be when you're older?
I want to be a film producer.
Oh, wow. So you want to produce films?
Yeah.
What type of films do you want to produce?
Action films.
Action films. And could The Adventures of Captain Atlantis, could that one day be a film?
Yeah.
How cool.
We like make it animated.
An animated one. Oh, that'd be good. Go on, Gary, come on, Dad. We need to sort that out. And over the years, Max, you've been in your local newspaper.
Yeah.
You've been in Balance magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've done different sort of charity events, haven't you, for raising awareness for Diabetes UK. And you did the Type 1 Diabetes Balloon Challenge, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what did you have to do for that?
With the Type 1 Diabetes Balloon Challenge, we had to keep the balloon up with our hands while we're like doing something. So I did a video of me checking my pump while I'm tapping up the balloon.
Was there any questions you had for me?
Yeah.
Oh wow! Are you gonna interview me now, Max?
Yeah. What age was you when you got diagnosed with diabetes?
So I was 17, so a little bit older than you. So I was in school. I was in year 12. So what year are you in, Max?
I'm in year 4 at the moment.
Year 4. So I was in year 12. And I had a couple more years left of school, so I was a teenager. Wow, a long time ago though.
How does it affect you when you go out with friends and family?
Ooh, that's a good question. My family are very supportive. My wife is great. She'll help me try and count some carbs. She'll help me if I'm low. So if I'm having a hypo, she'll be able to get my hypo treatment. Harry, my son, he's very good. I get my phone, and every morning, Max, he scans my arm to see what levels I am. So he comes in my room, he wakes Daddy up, and he scans my arm. So all the time, he wants to check and see how Daddy's doing. So yeah.
I did see a video of Harry checking your bloods.
Yeah. It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Has anyone in your family got diabetes?
My granddad had type 1 diabetes. So when I was born, my granddad was still alive, and he died when I was very young. So I think he died when I was about 1 or 2. So I didn't really know my granddad. But yeah, he had diabetes, and it was so different all them years ago. So we're talking 32 years ago when he was here. And it's changed so much with all the technology and all the cool things like your pump. But yeah, he had diabetes. And actually, when I was diagnosed, I was really poorly, Max. And my mum was really concerned because I was losing a lot of weight. I was drinking a lot of juice or milk. I used to drink loads of milk, Max. And then I used to go to the toilet a lot of the time. So my mum one day came into my room and, oh, there's my alarm going off to tell me to take my injection. So one day my mum came into my room, Max, and she could smell like pear sweets. And it's like a acid smell. And she just knew from then, or she thought, I had diabetes. So she rang the doctor and said, my son's not really good, he's really poorly. And I went to hospital, they did all my blood levels, and that was it.
What did your granddad have for diabetes? Like a needle or a scanner or, well, not a pump. Well, did he have a needle or like a scanner thing?
Wow, that's a really good question. So it was a long time ago, so it would have been over 32 years ago. I'm not sure when he got diabetes, but back then it would have been big needles. So sometimes you get like the pens, the insulin pens, but these would have had big sort of syringes. He never was able to scan his arm because the technology wasn't there, and he wasn't able to have a pump because the technology wasn't there. It's only recently it's come, and it's good that we've got it. What do you think of the technology, Max?
Well, I think we're lucky to have the technology. Did you like my books, and which one was your favourite?
My favourite? So yes, I loved your books. My favourite probably was the first one, because it was the start of the adventure. It was talking about Beta Town. It was explaining about all the people in Beta Time having diabetes, and it was introducing all the characters. I just felt it was the start of the journey. And now you've made a second one, and I look forward to seeing maybe the next one after that. Well, I think this one was my favourite.
I would say it's my second one.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
I kind of like sports day activities.
Yeah. Do you like doing sports day activities in school?
Yeah.
What's your favourite sports day activity?
The racing one.
The racing one, yeah.
Because I'm very fast at it. Do you think it will inspire other children to feel like a superhero?
Your books?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I never had things like this when growing up. And I think it would really help people when diagnosed to read your book and feel confident and really motivate them and help them. So yeah, I think it will do really well to inspire people. And I think because you and your dad have done it, Max, it makes it even more special that the book is written by someone who has diabetes and does amazing things for diabetes. So I think, yeah, it will help a lot of people. So well done, buddy.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming on, Max. It's been great. It's been nice talking to you and mum and dad as well. And yeah, thank you so much.